First of all, a couple of days ago, I taught, and I did nothing but confuse everybody, because first I ran a little short in time, but also I'm sure you were all asking, what does this have to do with the time of the kings? Okay, so basically I looked at the 70 years. And what I'm doing, it's kind of two things going on at the same time. I'm trying, tonight, I think you'll see that there is some method to this. By the time I'm done tonight, I'll be happy with what I was wanting to get across on the 4,000 years itself. But tonight, I want to be able to say, yeah, now I know how to work my way backwards from Christ's birth all the way back to the time of the kings. That's what my main goal is, to put the time of the kings in a, you know, in the right time slot. And when we read Ezekiel 4:5, that had 390 years. That had to do with the, you know, the iniquity of Israel and of that there was a 40-year period during Solomon's reign. He's the one that started all of the idolatry up there in Judah. There was 40 years there that Ezekiel laid on his side, 40 days. There was 390 days he laid on his side. That was the time of the kings. So, according to me and Fawcett and others. But also, I'm going to show you how EW, or how the Companion Bible, came up with, you know, what we're going to discuss. He had a reason for everything he did. And if he was here right now, he could probably defend himself better than I'm going to do. So, but, okay, to start with, let's turn to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9 and verse 24 through 26. Let's see. Okay. Daniel 9, 24. "70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." Okay, that's where I want to stop. We got 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now, one thing we're going to get to later tonight is this date that he has here on 4:26 on the margin. And I can tell you how he got that date, or how he's, what he bases it on is Daniel 9:1, and that has to be, it talks about the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus. Now, this is one of the few places tonight that I'm going to actually say that I don't agree with his foreign kings. I think the only place that he says this is, if you look in the note, this is Cyrus. So anyway, here's the point. 426 BC, if you add 70 to that, you get 496. So you can see at least the 70 years in Babylon, he showed where it ended, where it started. The 70-week desolation we'll get to though. But, let's see. All right, now let's turn to, if you still have the handout we gave for pages 57, 58, 59, 60 on commanding 50 that you can use that, or if you can turn to that in the appendices, I'd like to just point out on page 61 of the Companion Bible appendices that that page is perfect. Everything on that page is perfect. And the only difference of him and me there is the 4 BC. So he uses BC dates. I use before Christ's birth dates. See, like, I like to see the number, like here, like look up here at 454. I like to see the number 450 because that's the actual amount of years. And 450, it's possible to hide one of these, you know, significant numbers. But anyway, that we, I had already talked about that before. But, okay now, but look down here at AD 29. So, all you do is work your weeks, your 62 weeks backwards. This page 61 is the 62 weeks. The 7 weeks had already occurred. Look at the very last note on page 60. It says, the seven sevens end, marked by the completion and dedication of the second temple. So now, and for, and up a little higher, it says the seven sevens of Daniel 9:25 begin. Okay, so there you have it. We're working our way backwards from the birth of Christ, and now we've got all the way back to the year 450 or 454, whatever you prefer. So, and okay, last week I talked about the 70 years. Now, if you look at from the date 477 to 454, that's 23 years in the Companion Bible. 23 years from the destruction of the temple when, and look, he says the desolations begin, just like we talked about last week, last Sunday on 2 Corinthians 36:21. That's where you know that the temple's destroyed and the 70 years begin. So he's got a 23-year period here up to 450 or 454, whereas I have a 70-year period. And again, he gives you reasonings, though, why he did it. But I'm going to give you reasonings why I believe it. And it's, let me say something. It's not trying to, I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything. One thing I want to do is show the magnificence of Scripture, because we can't even come close to the perfection that is hidden in here. And the chronology, the gospel in the stars, the numbers in Scripture, all of these things are things you would expect of a perfect Bible, a perfect Scripture. You know it has to be perfect. And I'm not, that's all I'm trying to do is show that there's no mistakes whatsoever in this, and even in when it comes to chronology. Okay, so, also, all right. Now, look at the date 454 here on page 60. It talks about the 20th year of Astyages. Now, if you turn forward up to page 81, let me see here, 81. Yeah, page 81, the line of the Persian kings. You can look down on the second column, go down a ways, and look at Astyages. Look at all of the different appellatives that he's called in Scripture. And I agree with everything here. In fact, it's amazing that Bullinger, the Companion Bible, came up with this. To me, it's what he came up with here, of what we're going over right now, is better than what he came up with on the Lo Am I. What he did was change, he changed Bible study for nobody, for example, believed that Esther was first, Nehemiah was second, Ezra was third. They have it just the opposite. Nobody believed that until he came out with that. And I'm pretty sure if you talk to anybody who's a student of actually studies that he's already considered that no, the temple, the wall was built first and then the temple. Okay, but here's why I turn to this appendices though. Astyages married Esther. That's an amazing thing right there that no one knew. Ahasuerus, Esther 1:1. That's where it shows, you know, that she married him in Esther. Artaxerxes, mainly I want to look at Nehemiah 2:1, and Darius the Median. Darius the Median, by the way, is how we date this scripture here in Daniel 5:31 is how we date the book of Esther. We can date the book of Esther early. It's not too far into the 70 years. Right after the temple was destroyed, Mordecai came along, the uncle. And they were in that group that went over. And one of the, I think there were four different times that people went over to Babylon. Anyway, that's what that was. So, now, okay, with that, let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And we're going to be coming back here, though, to this page, because these notes here from 454 down to 404 is one of the most beautiful things ever discovered. It's amazing. Okay, but let's go back to Nehemiah 1:1. Okay, hold on here. Okay. Let's just start reading in verse 1 for a second here. It says, the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace. Now look at the date in the margin here. It says 455 rather than 454. Because these things are going to shape up, and then the seven weeks are going to begin the Ezra Nehemiah period. Oh, there's one thing I left out too. There's one thing I just left out in Daniel 9:25 that I wanted to show how he came up with that. This is not easy to. I've tried to come up with an orderly way to present this, folks. I promise. I've tried my best. Okay, hold on. And I didn't put tabs on here, so I should have brought this out here. Hold on. Okay. Now, where he said, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. This is what the Companion Bible uses for, that's what happened in the Ezra-Nehemiah period. The wall was built, and he has a note there on the street. This has to do with all of those seven sevens. Okay, so that, and again, I'm trying to raise EW up as much as I can. But okay, let's now back to Nehemiah chapter 1, the words of Nehemiah. The 20th year as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped which were left of the captivity and concerning Jerusalem. So he was quite a ways away. He was from where he was, Chislu, over, you know, close to Babylon there. He was quite 700 miles or something away, you know, where Hanani came to tell him of this news. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Now, the remnant that are left of the captivity, see, the people in my mind of the first of the 70 years that applied to the 70 years that went to Babylon had already started coming back. This 70 years here, let me see if I said that right. The remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. This is a deeper study that I have to get farther into Ezra and Nehemiah with. But let me just keep reading them. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So here's what I want to ask. Why would the wall be broken down if they had already built the temple? Let's see here. Okay. All right, I'll try harder here. You're right. My notes are really, I'm really trying to figure out how to present this, but it's not that hard since we have this chart. Okay, but, here's the question. Why is the wall broken down? Because if the temple was already built, wouldn't you want the wall up first? If you remember in Ezra, all of the things that happened there, from every side there was enemies trying to attack. So this is just one, and there's more throughout the book, and we're not going to get into that particular question though. But this is to back up what Bullinger says. And in verse 4, it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So from 5 on to the rest of the chapter is his prayer. Now go to chapter 2. And it came to pass in the month Nisan. Now, Nisan is the first month. Now remember, Abib is also the first month. But there's two sets of names. One of them came along when they went to Babylon. Nisan has to do with the Babylonian name. Okay, and it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, and this is what we just saw back in that note, back there on year 454, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. So here he is, the wine, he brings the wine to Artaxerxes the king. Well, let's read verse 2. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? Then I was very sore afraid. And we'll see in a minute why there was no reason for him to be afraid. And said unto king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? And the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him. Now, folks, this is my favorite note in the companion Bible of all notes. I don't think there's any that that warms me up as much as this note. On verse 6, says, the queen equals wife occurs only here, not a Hebrew word, but borrowed from the Akkadian, a bride, gal, used of a foreign queen. Here it would exactly suit the great bride, or foreign Jewish queen, Esther. Now, no one ever saw that before. This is Esther. The queen was even sitting by the king's side. And look what he says next. He didn't ask him, he didn't say anything else other than, well, how long are you going to be gone? It's like here we have the queen sitting by him, and Esther, remember, she had the people of Israel pray for 3 days and fast, that if I approach the king, he will accept me, and, you know, because even at the fear of death, if he doesn't accept you to come into his presence. This is the same king and the same queen, Esther. And now she's sitting by his side. And it's like a foregone conclusion that this is going to take place with Nehemiah. It says, how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. It's amazing. It's an amazing passage of scripture. Now, if you turn to Ezra 1:1, I'll show you one of the reasons this got confusing in the first place. You turn to Ezra 1:1, it says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, and he dates that at 426. Now, if you go back to a couple of pages back, 2 Chronicles 36:22. Okay, it says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Same thing we just read in Ezra 1:1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, going and so on and so on. There was a time lapse between, see, here in 21, the 70 years begin and the temple is destroyed right there at 477. So there's a long period of time here, enough time for Nehemiah to be written and for Esther to be written. And this is what, for some reason, since this verse and takes right off there in Ezra, I think that's part of the confusion of the which order to, that chronological order of these books. Okay, so we read that. Let's go back to appendix page 60. Appendix page 60, and I want to read down a couple of these. By the way, from the temple 477 to 454 there's 23 years. Again, I said I believe there's 70, and that was what I went over last Sunday, why I believe it. And I'm not going to harp on it. In fact, you guys are a treasure. I mean, it's like my dad, if somebody used to come to talk to him, Jehovah's Witness or whatever, it wasn't sometimes, it was always that they're the ones that had to leave first. Well, that's how I am. That's how I am. I'll talk to anybody about this subject. So thank you for bearing with me, your true saints. Okay, so the first note, the 20th year of Astyages. So look how beautiful all this structure fits together. And let's go down to the next note. The seven sevens of 925 begin with this. That's 454. Year of Astyages, 454 B.C., and end with the dedication of the temple in 405 B.C. I won't argue with that. The 405 I won't argue with, because if we start breaking apart Ezra and Nehemiah, we could spend weeks running down, as some of you call it, a rabbit hole. So, and is it expedient for us to know? I don't know. I don't know if it is or not. I think there are a lot of things expedient in this day and age, and I am going to get off the chronology here, but let's go on a little more, and I'll explain, how I want to sum it up. Now, okay, so we have that note. And then the next note, the 62 sevens begin in 405 and end in 20. Okay, we already said that. 426. This is how he dates the end of the 70 years of the 70 years of Babylon. Darius the Median. And again, that's where I had a problem, but also this Darius the Median here in Daniel 5:31. In fact, let's turn to that. Daniel 5:31. This is how you can date Esther. Daniel 5:31. Okay, so Belshazzar died in verse 30, but in 31, Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So, let's see, where's it say in the note? Anyway, this is the same one. This is the father of Cyrus and the husband of Esther. So, this is how you date it. It's beautiful. The word is beautiful. The way it's so succinct and complete. 7 sevens. We went through that. Therefore, it was 408 from the giving forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem according to Daniel 9, the cutting off of the Messiah. So, that's where you see it. Now, Usher, for this same time period, between the destruction of the temple to the 454 date, has a whopping 134 years. Now, you can easily fit the 70 years in that, but the reason he did that was because he thinks the temple was destroyed in 588, not 477. He already thought that. Okay, so I wanted to show that. Now we can work our way all the way back from the birth of Christ or the death of Christ. We can work our way back to 450. That's easy. Now, depending how you look at this time slot here, if you use 70 years, now you're back to the kings. Now we've worked our way back from Christ backwards to the kings. Once you do that, you're home free. These are really the two hardest junctions, I would say, years to actually see. I mean, once you get past the split kingdom, then you got the three main kings, and then beyond that, you've got the low MI period, then the 430. So I'm feeling good that I've done what I wanted to do. So, for whatever it's worth, if it's only worth hopefully showing that Scripture is so marvelous, then I've accomplished something. Okay, now. So now we've worked our way back to the time of the kings, and that's to answer your question of what was I talking about on Sunday. That's why I started going off on other things other than the kings. Now, we also talked about the 430 years, and we also talked about a little bit about the 400 years. And what was the other one? We talked about the low MI period, I only did that. I wanted to zoom out a little bit and talk about, you know, give more credence to the subject of chronology, if nothing else. But anyway, you can clap your hands now because I'm done with the 4,000 year study. Remember when I started that, I just said, I just want to show you at least the tools to how to come up with it if you want to. And whether you want to or not is neither here nor there. All right. So the 390-year period or the 403-year period, we'll use Bollinger's dates because I'm not so concerned about specific dates as I am about how we get back to, you know, how everything ties together in Scripture. But remember, there was a 92-year period. Then Jehu, remember, chronologically, the 92-year period ended because both kings died on the same day. Then, and that's 788. 611, the temple, the Samaria was destroyed. Now, that is the three time slots chronologically. And my goal is to show that it's not only chronological, but, and I'm still looking for more scripture on it. I haven't come up with the exact name that for this period of time, but we're going to approach it a little bit tonight. But, now, okay, and I've kind of covered the first 92 years in an overall view. I've kind of covered the second period on an overall view. That is, in the north, we had, you know, the Jehu dynasty for five generations. That was 125 years. The next five kings after that, though, only took up 42 years. They're called the later kings, the last kings. They're called the last kings. And remember one thing about this whole period of time. These are brothers fighting against brothers. Judah, Benjamin, fighting against almost the whole time they were at war with each other. A lot of the time, I should say, they were with war. And what we see during all that time is it gets real confusing because all of these foreign kings come into the picture. So now if you look at, let me see, I gotta get out my own chart because I dated Micah in there. In fact, I can just turn to it. Micah chapter one, verses 1-6. Okay, Micah 1, verses 1-6. And now, let's read verse 1, and we can zero in on just when this is, on our second period. The word of the Lord had came to Micah the Morasthite in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. So here we have three names, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah. And it's pretty close to the same time span as Isaiah, although Isaiah covers a longer time span. But Jotham was there for 16 years, Ahaz was there for 16 years, and Hezekiah was there for 6 years when the Samaria was destroyed. Okay, so let's read verse 2 here, and this is what was going on. We learn more about the time periods from the prophets, maybe, than we do at the actual what's going on sometimes with the kings. Hear all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. And the mountains And the mountains shall be molten under him. The mountains, I think this could apply to both Samaria and Jerusalem, where it says the mountains. So, and of course, in verse 1, he said this is for the north and the south, Samaria and Jerusalem. For behold, the Lord come forth, will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth, and the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valley shall be cleft as wax before the fire, and as the waters that are poured down a steep place. For the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel, what is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? In other words, the iniquity that's going on in Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Therefore, I will make Samaria as an heap of the field and as plantings of a vineyard, and I will pour down the stones thereon into the valley, and I will discover the foundations thereof. So, we can see by the time Hezekiah got in there what he had to inherit. But now let's go to chapter 6 of Micah, in verse 13 through 16. Micah chapter 6 says, therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, and making thee desolate because of thy sins. Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but thou shalt not deliver, and that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword. Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil and sweet wine, but shall not drink wine. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab, and ye walk in their counsels. So, remember, the Omri dynasty ended at the end of the 92 years. And here we are 150 some years later, and all of those things never went away. Even though Jehu wiped out all of those temple worshipers, the Baal worshipers, there are bunches of them that got wiped out. No, you can't wipe something like that out in the north and the south. Jezebel and her godlessness spread, and they loved it. I should say they loved it. Except for, of course, you know, the true believers, the remnant. Of course, you know, that would, of course, we differentiate there. But in verse 16, it says that I should make thee a desolation and the inhabitants thereof an hissing. Therefore, ye shall bear the reproach of my people. So I'm zero in a little bit on this time period right here, right at the end of the first one, because I'm trying to turn the corner. To me, once that temple was just, it's like turning a corner with me. It's you know how you can make a chart and you can go down the page and tabulate it, as Bullinger did in Appendix 50, or you can go across and make a timeline across. I don't understand it, but the 92 years, in my mind, always goes down the page, the 177 across, then I turn the corner and go back down again, because the middle period has a distinct structure to it. There's four distinct periods of time there, which I'm not going to get into right now though. But if nothing else, but just it gives us another little something how to group these kings. So if we kind of understand what went on in each period, we kind of understand each of the kings also. But now turn to Isaiah 1:1. Hold on. Here we have about the same period of time. It's Says the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. So it's a little bit more. Uzziah, we have Asa. We also have Uzziah in there, so he started a little bit earlier. Okay, in verse 2, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Verse 14. Yeah, 14. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear it. You're right, Chip. My notes are in disarray here. Hold on. All right, I'm going to skip up to chapter 7. Somehow I wrote down the wrong thing here. Isaiah chapter 7. Here we have the father of Hezekiah. And then, let me see. Well, there's a lot to cover, but I'm trying to get up to where I can turn the corner, as I said. Verse 7, it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah. Now, Pekah and Jotham were pretty much at the same time. Even though Pekah was 20 years and Jotham was 16. Okay, but this is the north and the south. So Rezin the king of Syria and Pekah the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. So here's the north coming against him, but that's not enough. No, I'm gonna also get together with this other king. And then I'm going to come down on top of you, Judah. In verse 2, and it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. In other words, Syria is confederate or in hoots with the north. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. And then we come down and give you a couple of the highlights here. It says, thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Now, it wasn't because of Ahaz being, you know, holy, because it says he did not do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But the Lord still was... During this time of Ahaz, this isn't the only time Isaiah deals with him, and with his, because of his dealings with Assyria, or of Syria, I should say. This isn't the only time, but let's keep reading here. It shall not stand, verse 8, for the head of Syria is Damascus, the head of Damascus Rezin, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. Now, no one ever has come up with what this 65 years means, but if you look at the Jubilees, the 65 years ends on one. Now, and that's another study too. So I'm not gonna go into that either. There's too many things to go into, but okay, let's go on down to verse 14:8. He said, okay. Give me a sign. Tell me what kind of sign you want, Ahaz. And then in verse 12, but Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. He wouldn't ask for a sign. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? Will ye weary my God also? Therefore, The Lord himself shall give you a sign. And here's a passage of scripture that has a twofold meaning. Both a meaning back at the time it was written and a meaning in the future. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And let's see, I'm going to skip down to verse 17 now. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people, upon thy father's house, days that have not come from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. So, what we're building up here, kind of, is what Hezekiah had to inherit. And I've been trying to get to Hezekiah now for weeks, and I can't do it. One time Barney did a lesson on Hezekiah. I think it was 10 weeks just to cover Hezekiah. And I think there's about 10 chapters in scripture just on Hezekiah. If you take the scripture on Hezekiah and Josiah, I think there's more on those two than all the others put together. I might be wrong on that. But that, of course, that doesn't include David, who is by far the most written about him. And it doesn't include Solomon or Saul. Okay, but basically, you know, we can study the prophets when we study the kings and get a lot better insight on it. But there's not much more I can say right now, but I promise I am going to try to sum up what I call the 390 years the next time. And I'm get on to other things besides chronology. One thing I would like to say, if you turn to, and I'll close with this, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And 1 John 5. Hold on. Okay, here we go. Got it. 1 John 5, verses 6 through 8, and I'll close with this passage of scripture. This is he that came, and I don't know what this means, by the way. I really don't know what I'm about to read means. Maybe one of you do. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. See, that part's easy enough to understand. But in verse 8, and there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Now, bear with me here just for 2 minutes. I mean, you've been this good to me this far. So just bear with me on this. In the chart, there are five periods of time that take up 594 years. And I already told you one of them is the Lo Ammi period. I have 595 years there as opposed to 573. And again, I gave you the reason why Bollinger took it literal. The 300 years in Judges 11:26, he took that 300 years literal. So, who am I to say it's not? Okay, so I'm taking up for him. Okay, but there's 594 years there in the Lo Ammi period. That is what I'm calling the Spirit. There's five, and here's why. Because it started with the 40 years in the wilderness where they followed the Spirit. It would, the cloud by day and the fire by night and so forth. That was the Spirit. All the way through the time of the Judges, there were supernatural men who were inspired by the Spirit to do what they did. And then the Spirit disappeared, went right at the temple, the Shekinah glory, the last time it's recorded. Anyway, that's what I'm calling the temple. Now, from the flood to the time the water started again to rain after the famine in the land, after they entered the land, is 594 years. From when the water started to when the rain started. That was 594 years. Now, from the time the second temple was, from the time the Solomon's temple was destroyed, which I said was 520, and the second temple was destroyed in 70, that's 594 years. Because I get to add the 4 BC to it. 524 plus 70. So there's three 594 year periods. That one I call the blood. Because there were over a million people killed in the second temple. And we know a lot of the blood, there's a lot of blood that was spilled on the first temple. Anyway, you can't use that kind of stuff to prove anything, you know, I can't use that to prove scripture, but I just want to say that, more things like that have popped out that I just wanted to throw that out because Bullinger did a study on the year 594. If you look in his book, The Witness of the Stars, in his appendix in the back, he says, he quotes the verse for signs and for seasons. And he goes on to a couple of pages for that number 594, which is not quite what's called a Saros cycle, which has to do with the eclipses of the suns and the moons during that Saros cycle. But it's only off by about 10 days, 10 or 11 days, depending on the cycle. But in either case, Bullinger suggests that this could have been the exact Saros cycle before the calendars were changed. Anyway, that's the kind of thing that could be icing on the cake if I could, you know, otherwise prove it. But there are other things like that too. Anyway, again, you guys are saints. Thank you for sitting through all that, because I believe it's all there. I think everything is there. And I think Christ knew to the minute and to the day when all these things happened, and I think there's more in Scripture that we have blind spots on that could bring out the perfection of this even. I think the perfection of the dating of the Old Testament is equivalent to the gospel and the stars. They're both, how can you say one's better than the other? They're both perfect. And everything to do with scripture is the same way. But anyway, the next time I may get into Philippians to give you a heads up. It might be I'm not sure when I speak next, but I might give you a reprieve from all of these dates. So thank you again. I'm going to close in a word. Thank you, good Lord, for this time we have. Thank you for all of the things you've given us, all of the blessings in the heavenly places that we have to be thankful for. And be with each one as we go our ways. Keep your hand on each one. Bless us. Use us. Thank you, and for the love we share, and in your good name, amen.